Welcome to Woo Wooville, your next stop in your spiritual journey. My name is Amaral.
Hi, I'm Lola.
Hello, I'm Pamela.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about letting go of what is no longer you. So we're going to start by talking a little bit about, it's describing a little bit about ourselves. So I'm going to get started with describing Lola. So Lola is a tarot teacher. She's also a tarot reader, and she does light language. She also is very talented at drawing spirit guides, and you can find her. We have a website that, Facebook website that's open now, so you can definitely look us up, and it's just the name of our show, Welcome to Woo Woo Bill, if you decide to join us, and we would love your input on it.
Yeah, so this is Lola. My name's Lola Singer, and it's not actually a website. It's a Facebook group page, and thank you to all the people who've signed up. In the first week, we had more than 100 people, which was really amazing. So thanks for everyone who's been supporting us and giving us positive feedback. If you'd like to join the Facebook group, yep, just like Amaral said, it's Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey podcast. So it's a mouthful, but it's easy to find because there's not many places called Woo Wooville on Facebook, I don't think. And we're introducing ourselves for people who don't know us yet, just real quickly before we dive into the topic. And I would like to introduce Pamela Brown. So we're all friends who met each other on the spiritual path. And Pamela is a shaman, and she uses the sound of her drum to help people go into a relaxed state so that they can get in touch with basically whatever needs to be addressed. So maybe if it's an emotional situation that needs to be addressed, it will calm you and allow you, she'll hold space and allow the time for you to explore that in your mind and in your heart so that you can bring it up for healing. So we'll probably go have an episode one of these days and talk to a few people who are shaman because it's not a job for the weak of heart when we're holding space for people who are hurting. But that's just one of the many things she does. She's very heart-centered, very motherly. I would trust her on your spiritual journey to help you move past those roadblocks that we sometimes can't figure out for ourselves.
Awesome. Thank you, Lola. And I love so much my partners here and how much we have grown and developed together and seeing how we each offer a unique skill set. Amaral here, he is one thing we have learned, in addition to being an oracle and being very gifted with intuitive messages and psychic medium, he is also a fabulous hairdresser. That's the skill in which wonderful with hair and as a colorist and all these other things, but also as a grid worker and offers a great breathwork class should you be interested in that. And breathwork is something that I had kind of didn't realize how important it can help you really break through where you're at, bringing things to light, releasing things. It just sounds like, oh, breathing, but there's so much more to it. And he's really good at offering that as a service to the collective. And he does a lot of energetic work on behalf of his friends and clients and stuff. So when you're in his chair, you're getting not only just a physical beautification service, which you love, but you also get a chance to really, you know, talk heart-centered and bring up things that are on your heart. And he's really good at holding space and also bringing to light and getting messages. So it's, you get a lot in that time with him. So I know that I really appreciate that by him as well.
And probably the easiest way to get a hold of Amaral, just in case you want to learn more about his breathwork classes, they're on Monday nights, 7 o'clock Pacific time, twice a month.
Yep.
I would just recommend going to, the easiest way is probably go to the Welcome to Woo Wooville group page and say, hey, I'd like to learn more from Amaral about the breathwork, the free breathwork classes, and he'll get back to you. I promise he will.
Yep.
He's nice. Okay. Well, speaking of You got, they're all nice. We like each other. So
yes,
much.
We're all nice.
And we support each other. And we are holding space for each other today because today is a full moon. And we're recording at my little cabin in the woods. And when Amaral and Pamela came up, I said I had to drink an extra cup of coffee today because I just wasn't feeling myself. I was just dragging. And that's the way the full moon can feel. And it turns out my co-conspirators here are kind of feeling the same way too. Like this energy of the full moon is really making us less perky than usual.
Yes.
But we're going to plug through here and talk about this topic with you because it goes with the full moon.
It sure does. Yeah.
Letting go of what isn't you anymore. And that's, you know what, that might actually be the most important topic of the spiritual path when you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it truly is.
So I think that what I love about each individual journeys is that letting go of who we no longer are just really comes up to the surface. So those feelings of feeling uncomfortable, like you feel like you have been doing things a certain way your whole life, and then you ask yourself, there's got to be more to life than just what I've been experiencing. When you start asking those questions and when you start really shedding away who you've been programmed to be, meaning society, certain structures create a personality, a mask out of you. But when you really start to learn who you are, you start letting go of who you no longer are. And this is a great episode to kind of shine on light that you're not alone, kind of how we all got started with feeling this way, and kind of share our stories as well as letting you know this is normal during your awakening path.
It is the awakening path.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
letting
absolutely.
Go of the falsehoods, dropping the masks, becoming the authentic you, the best you can be, the highest version of you, because that has been suppressed by design. You know, we're raised, you know, they try to get you into school before the age of 5 because
yes.
children are open books. They're so malleable. I hate to use the guy in Germany's name, because I think sometimes you get in trouble with the podcast, but his staff are the ones who said, you give me a child before the age of 5 and I will give you the man.
Mm.
So that's why they had all those youth groups
right
in that place that starts with G.
Right.
It's amazing how many masks we wear. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it's for an authentic reason. Sometimes we put on a mask mm-hmm. by choice. Now, that would be like, for example, the example I use is going to a fine dining restaurant.
Mm.
I'm going to put on a different mask to eat my food there than I would to eat pizza at home with friends, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put my feet up on the table. I'm not going to take my shoes off. Things like that. But that's by choice because it's appropriate to the situation. So it's still very authentic to you. I'm choosing this mask right now. It's still part of me and it works. And I just got truth bumps when I said that. So when we're talking about masks, you don't have to strip away every mask, but it's the ones that don't fit you anymore. When you grow on the spiritual journey, like we talk, there becomes that cognitive dissonance where it's like my mind can't wrap myself around this concept mm-hmm. anymore. And then eventually your body can't wrap itself around the mask anymore. So I think we've all felt that, like with jobs we've had to leave, for example.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't handle this vibration anymore. It's not me. I don't feel genuine. And I can't do this kind of work and have integrity. And it just... You just know when it's not a good fit anymore and you have to move on. Same thing with all the masks we wear. So some of them will fit you. Some are fun. We all like a masquerade every once in a while. Don't
yeah.
you like, you know, Mardi Gras party?
Yep.
But, you know, that's by choice. It's different when it's indoctrination.
And I think it's more of the way you see the differences is the discomfort of the mask.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Once you don't feel like you fit in somewhere, once you feel like, okay, this isn't me, that's the type of mask we're talking about. Because we all know, like, for example, you go to a public place. People that work there are going to wear their customer service mask. That's a mask too. Your barista is going to wear their mask. In a way, we are all guided to wear certain, to be a certain role, to play certain roles, I should say. But it's the inner roles within ourselves that we play in the comfort or discomfort. And we're definitely going on the discomfort part. You know, one of the things I want to mention is with full moons are very intense because let's talk about the part that really affects us is the fact that the moon has gravity really affects just on the earth, the water, and we're made out of 60% water. So it really is going to affect us in certain ways. I personally always like to write down the things that I'm ready to let go of on full moons because the energy is helping you with just letting go of things. So I do a list. I write it down. I kind of burn it off, this setting intention. I also like to do moon water, which is water that you just talk to it. You can put crystals on it in just setting the intention and what are you working towards, especially because we are releasing, but also writing down what things we want to work on, what things we want to bring in.
You know, that brings up something for people who are new to this spiritual journey. And we're trying to support people who are new as well as people who've been on it for a while, because the new people don't know these things. And I didn't either when I started waking up spiritually. So I did not know about the full moon and the new moon. Mm. So in a nutshell, new moons are for bringing in what you want. It's a new moon. Okay, what do I want to bring in? What kind of energy? What intention? So it's usually recommended to set usually one intention. I guess you can do more depending if you feel confident about that.
I usually do three.
Oh, he's the Scorpio. He dives deep. But for example, you know, on a new moon, you might want to bring in more abundance. That's a mm-hmm. typical one. Or more, you know, more love in my life. Or, you know, better communication with my spouse. Whatever it could be, that you want to bring that in. On a full moon, it's the opposite. You're letting go. That's what the topic is today. Letting go. What do I want to release? And then, you know, you want to release miscommunication with your partner. You know, you want to release the fears you have of not being good enough. You know, I want to release the confusion I'm feeling around this situation. So what would you be bringing in as a result? Because when you're releasing something, there's a void, right? So you also want to kind of keep in mind mm-hmm. once that void, what's released, what I want to bring in. As a standard, you could bring in love. But like, for example, like we just talked about, you know, I'm releasing the confusion I'm having with my husband. So let's fill that up with better clarity about how we can communicate. Things like that. Does that help?
Yeah.
But the main topic on a full moon is release. Letting go. So we were talking about, you know, some examples of what you might want to let go of. And did you pick something for the full moon, Pamela?
Yes, I did. I've really been not focusing on lack, but realizing that there have been certain things in place, beliefs and whatnot, that have, when you know you're not living where you could be, you know, you're like, you can feel this of like, I know there's more. And so what are those things? And diving in. And so for me, this one was really looking at, you know, deservingness and worthiness, but releasing any lack. So I'm releasing limiting beliefs around that because I want prosperity. So mm-hmm. I'm releasing things that let go of old stories where, you know, I might not be good enough. Or, you know, whatever that's about. And you go deeper in with that and you keep asking the questions. So that's where I am at because there's so much I want to do, you know. And as you come, you realize, at least for me, we talked about this before, how you and I, Lola, we love retail therapy. So when you don't have as much funds as you would like to have, or you want to take a trip, or there's something that's like calling to you, and then you look at it and it's either time, money, whatever the resource is, and you go, oh, I'm not quite there yet. I realize there's been little by little, as time has gone on over the last few years, I keep bringing my my desires down and what I get to do. And then suddenly I realized this doesn't even feel like me. Like, when was the last time I got to do a class or different things? Because, you know, like many people, I think across at least America, is inflation's been high and the cost of everything just seems to keep going up and up, and it begins to have a real effect on your pocketbook. and you go, oh, what is this about? I want to look at it because I know this is not true. This is a story. And so looking at the stories, and I probably bird walked all the way around that one, but that's just what was coming up to mind for me on this moon.
Oh, I just want to say one of the things you brought up was worthiness. And I think that is the biggest trap that they ever set for us.
Yes.
To teach us at a young age that we're unworthy. Maybe. We're not good enough. So-and-so's always better than you.
Yeah.
Got to keep up with the Joneses. And also, you know, depending on how what religious associations you have, that, you know, you're born a sinner. Are you kidding me? Why would the creator create a sinner? Why would it intentionally create something flawed?
Right.
I don't think so. But boy, you talk about church school. They had me in church school young, you know, but we talked about that at the beginning of the episode. And what are they teaching you? Jesus loves you, but you're bad.
Yeah. But what people don't understand too is that sometimes you have to read a little more into it and get the information. For example, the Bible was written at a certain time. The actual sin part wasn't added until way later. You can confirm this. But what does it serve? It serves a control of people acting a certain way. And I mean, everything has its purpose. You know, well, you're breaking out of who you no longer are. Religious programming is probably the hardest one to break out of. I can definitely say that myself. And at first, it's going to upset you. It's going to trigger you. And that's okay. Because guess what? If it didn't upset you, if it didn't trigger you, then it's not pointing at a place where you need to work on.
So we're just talking about our own personal experiences here. So we're, you know, if you get a lot of support through your religious beliefs, you do you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've got two representatives here of some of the most difficult programs to break out of. Mm-hmm. Because Amaral was raised
Catholic,
but Pamela is on an equal footing because she was raised Mormon. And I've talked to a lot of people. I've been doing this spiritual work and the tarot for over 10 years. And that's who I meet a lot. I meet a lot of former Mormons, and I meet a lot of former Catholics. So they see that it's been part of the masks that they needed to shed. For them to be in integrity. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, if you feel like you're totally in integrity with those two philosophies, more power to you. But you know what? Once you kind of lift the veil, like the three of us have, we're seeing things that maybe you haven't seen yet. And your journey's yours. I could never go back to the kind of religious training I had, and mine was easy compared to you guys. Yeah.
So continue on with the topic, though, about letting go of what no longer is. This full moon and this energy, what I chose to release was attachment. Attachment to stories that never really connected with me, but at a much deeper level. So every time we attach to things, we're kind of like holding on for dear life. That's actually technically considered lack too, because if you're saying, I can't live without this, or if you're saying, I need this in order to move forward, that emphasizing alone, it's really blocking you from that. It's almost like going back to the affirmations even. You can't say you wish, I want, I need, because that's coming out of lack. So I just decided to be clear with myself and ask myself, what are those stories that I'm telling myself? And it went so deep. I left it too open. But at the same time, that's all part of growth. You know, we come here, we get so bottled up with the shiny things. And not that those things are bad. Like you should give yourself the things you want to have. But at the same time, when that becomes the definition that you create that attachment to, unless I have this, I'm happy, that's not going to be a great life, because you need to fulfill yourself from the inside.
Yes.
The outside part is only temporary. Your soul is forever. Feed your soul. And if you would have asked me this or you would have told me anything about this a long time ago, I would have been like, you're nuts. But really, guys, you'll have 5 minutes of loving something that you think you must have had. But then those 5 minutes pass and you're like, wow. Because we've been all programmed to think that... just lost the word, but
well, I think one of the things that you're also saying as you talk about that is that everything's outside of you. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for this thing, and I can equate this again back to my shopping. So I go back and I would go out and find something with the tag still on it. It's like I didn't even wear that, but whatever I needed, that hit I needed to get, mm-hmm. I got it. And these things outside of you, they don't last very long. They're not fulfilling and sustaining because it's just. It's not from an inward place. And it's basically, once you got that hit or that thing or whatever it was, then you're back to square where you were mm-hmm. before that. And it's not sustaining. It's not fulfilling. It's like you're left wanting.
Because it hasn't addressed what needs healing.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the word that I had lost was consumerism. We're all taught about consumerism. Like... oh, you need to just buy more. Always buy more. That's always going to keep you happy. And it really isn't.
And by design, it's been that way.
It is, of course.
Right? Yeah. Because that's another way of enslavement. You know, always working to, like you said, keeping up with the Joneses. So I also feel like the lessons you were learning leading up to this moon are also significant. So it's not just what's hitting you today or this week. As I was thinking, as you guys were talking, Lola, you helped me with this one where it was around lifetimes of where my parents really was, that was my value. And you were reading into it and you're like, oh, 400 years. And I'm like, 400 years? She wrote it down and I love to see it work. It's super fun for me as an observer to watch how the information flows into you and then feeling those body tingles when the truth comes in and how that feels for me. When a story syncs up and you've come across it and you're like, you know, you're on your treasure hunt for this piece of knowledge or whatever, it's been lost. It feels like lost to you. And then you find that treasure and you're like, aha, here's one of the pieces that I've been looking for. So... one of the masks that I let go of that I was still seeing, that I still had some work to do on, was my value was around my appearance. And so even when life was incredibly difficult, I would still get up, put my makeup on, get dressed, get the kids out, and nobody would know that my life at home was literally falling apart left and right because I had the mask. I had to look pulled together. And I felt that. And I'm like, where did this come from? Like, I didn't see my mom do this. So it was all around, you know, being fake and presenting things, which came a little bit, you know, from church. It's like everybody's on the pew and the family looks all pulled together. And it's all this appearance that you're this kind of way, this happy family that we're all just marching to the same beat and we look the part. But it's the roles and this stuff that's been put on you. So for me, like my value was, and story had been around my parents. I remember being a young kid, going to different schools, having the kids look at you, and I could feel the stories and different things. Of course, not knowing how to discern what was hitting me, but the girls often didn't like me. The boys would give me attention. Oh, she's the new girl or whatever. And then, I would just be interpreting all this, and then I was shy, so it made me go quiet and all this stuff. And I realized society judges you by how you look. And so it's funny, you look back on your life and say, what are the lessons? What are some of the things that have caused me, you know, the most pain, that's tripped me up, where I'm super attached to? So when you have that as your kind of lesson, you know, you might spend a lot of money and effort and energy on how you look and how you present yourself. And I couldn't go out if my face wasn't on. I couldn't go out and you know, let somebody see this is the real me, you know. And that's something I feel like a long ways on, where now I don't have to have makeup on and hair done just so and clothes just right and completely adorned. but you helped me find that this was going back many, many years of lifetimes of reincarnating, where my value was based on appearance or what I had to offer to accentuate my partner. And that played out again in my marriages.
Yeah. So another thing that's interesting when you know, like someone like me who's a psychic or gets a hit that something's been going on for many, many lifetimes, like for you it was 400 years back, but it also could be your ancestors.
Right.
It could be 400 years of women who've been groomed to believe that they always had to look their best no matter how things were crumbling at home. That's another thing you can let go of. I don't think, and I didn't know this at the beginning of my spiritual journey. I honestly don't think I figured this out till many years later, that we've got the epigenetics factor as well.
Yes.
So sometimes we're feeling the discomfort of our masks because they aren't even our masks. Mm-hmm. It's whatever kind of energetic pay it forward of healing that needs to be done for generations ago of women, for example, like we're talking about, that never got healed generationally. So, you know, the great, 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 great grandmother had the emotional wound that didn't get healed, passed on to the next generation, and then the next generation, and then the next generation. And it never, that's why, you know, women tend to have similar situations, with their people they choose to marry that kind of mirrors their family.
Yeah.
Because that stuff needs to be fixed. And sometimes it's up to you to decide, I'm not comfortable with this. Whatever's going on here, I don't want it anymore. And sometimes it's something that you need to heal inwardly because it happened to you specifically in this lifetime. But it's also possible you're the one that said, I'm volunteering to stop this for in this generation. It's not going to get carried on.
Yeah, you being the healer means you're going to not just look at your ancestral line, but also within that cultural line. So, you know, you having the Norwegian background, you could be healing wounds within that own culture that not just specific to your family, but to that culture. So what did that country and that culture go through as part of the programming and stories that were carried forth, where they lived, whatnot?
A lot of scarcity.
Yes.
Because my family grew up above the Arctic Circle on an island. They weren't even on the mainland.
Oh, really?
So there wasn't a whole lot of good farmland, and they relied on fishing. But scarcity and... I had another one. Plus, you know, Norway was occupied by the Nazis.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Early.
Yeah, okay, so early on.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you tuning in that are just beginning with your journey, even things like we were talking about, like cultural, there's a lot of things that people pass for, like, oh, that's just normal, that's how things are. But really it isn't. For example, I grew up, like, with my cultural things, traumas that were passed down with shame. A lot of the times, for example, if I wasn't killing myself, if I wasn't working like 7 days a week, oh, I'm lazy all of a sudden. And we get so carried away with these titles and this like shaming other people. And you find out that what does that really do to you? You find out the more you see it from a bigger picture and you see when you're judging someone, what does that do for you? And not only that, but how would you like to get treated? Meaning, if someone's truly happy with themselves and where they're at, why would they need to judge others? That's where those masks starts dropping. When I started, I thought I only had shame from like this lifetime, but holy cow, it went all the way back. And the biggest thing that I have to come to terms with, which is really powerful, was honoring myself and being nice to my body. Realizing that we have physical limitations. First of all, we have a human body that needs to be taken care of. What do you think happens to that body when you're constantly working and not appreciating it, not telling that you love it? It's going to start breaking down. It's like everything. It could be a car. What happens to a car when you don't do oil changes or maintenance on it? Same thing will happen to you. No matter how strong you feel you are, there will come a point where you will break down unless you start nourishing yourself from the inside. And these masks play a part as far as societal, but why do you need to carry on traditions that don't serve you? Why do you need to do things to cater to others when you're bringing yourself down? If you're tired and exhausted, what's wrong with taking a day off? Who cares what anybody else thinks about you? And those were things that I had to ask myself. I really enjoy doing mirror work now, but I can tell you when I started looking at the mirror, I couldn't be honest with myself, and I felt like all I had to say to myself were negative things. I felt unworthy. I felt like I didn't look good for this, whatever. And now I just see myself and I just say, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so glad that you're carrying me. Things like that. It's just the little things. Even if you don't start not believing them, your cells will change. Everything gets programmed. It's like that thing. How long does it take to change a habit?
3 weeks.
Exactly. So think about just 3 weeks of telling yourself you love yourself and thinking your body. Try it for 3 weeks and I bet you will be able to see a difference or feel a difference. Even better, feel the difference.
And then when you're doing the mirror work, you actually look at your eyes, don't you?
Yes.
You look at yourself in the mirror and you look straight into your eyes and you say, I love you. And it will be difficult for some people at first, but yeah, that's part of letting go of this training and the shame and the unworthiness. You are worthy. We wouldn't be here if we weren't worthy. And we chose to be here at one of the most difficult times on this planet, not because we're bad, evil, guilty, unworthy people, because we have the souls that are strong enough to move us into this next era.
Yeah.
So we all know the patriarchy that has been so insidious about placing these masks on us and starting us at an early age to think we're bad. It's dying. We learned a lesson. It was a I don't know how many thousand year lesson. I think the cycles are like 2,178 years, something yeah, like that. 2,000 year lesson to find out what we really don't want. So now we want harmony and cooperation and balance. So accepting all parts of ourselves, which is the age of Aquarius that we're entering. Bye-bye, age of Pisces. We're done with you. Unfortunately, we're straddling both at the moment. But yeah, we're really feeling that push to be authentic because of Aquarius. And I love it. And part of being authentic is to really look at the masks that I want to say you've allowed to yourself to be placed on, but because it's been done at such an early age, you didn't really have the mental capacity to make a choice.
Exactly.
And I feel like the letting go also is the way the world has been, not just within ourselves, but you can feel a letting go of things shifting in our society. So before, you used to not see very many spiritual topics, certainly not podcasts with all these different, more spiritual related topics, books, stores. There's so much more resources now. It used to be, not just consumerism, in the 80s, it was the, I love the show. It was like, what was that guy's name where he would show people's houses and stuff? Robert Leach, whatever?
I don't know.
Okay, you didn't watch it. Anyways, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I think is what it was.
Oh, I hated that show.
See, and this is where I was. Oh, man.
So we had completely different values at that time.
Yeah, I loved the beauty. I loved the opulence.
And I hated the phoniness.
Well, see, and that frequency never picked up on me. Like, mm-hmm.
But you were being authentic to you at the time.
Right.
And the masks you were wearing. Being authentic to me. We're just polar opposites on that.
Here's, I want to shine a light because I'm like seeing both sides and this is the appropriate light. So I have seen this with my own eyes. A lot of the times, parents used to work all the time, so they would just leave their kids behind. The number one programming that is out there is television. So depending on what you watch is the idea of what you build, like how you thought about the world. And we learn by practicing things that later, even if they don't align with us, we let them go later on. But look at, for example, what's going on with current lifestyles. Like the whole celebrity is being exposed to for what it is. All these masks are dropping. All these people that you were looking up to are all of a sudden no longer really people you should be looking up to. And the thing is, there's going to be people that are going to be holding on for dear life for that. Why? Because their trigger, that was their programming. That pretty much, the nutshell itself says, this is how I grew up, and now you're collapsing that and making me look at it another way. And some people won't be able to because they can't break out of that programming. Mm-hmm. It's those of you that decide, I deserve something better. Even though I was brought up like this, I can still change. The change is not going to be to please others. This time the change is going to be to look within and see what's best for me so that I can nourish myself and I can create the best version of me. That's what really is about.
One of the going back a little bit more into that was that I saw how in early childhood, kids judged others by their appearance, I was saying, and that's meant clothing and having the right things. So I saw it as a way of actually protecting myself from judgment and criticism. I overheard some kids around kindergarten age pointing fingers and making fun of how someone looked and their clothes and whatnot. And I thought, oh, okay, I don't want to have that. So if I follow the pack and I go with what's popular or look at that, that's pretty, that's nice. Ooh, you're set up because you're seem to be more valuable because you have more riches. Those were some of the lessons that I've had to learn. And some of the hardest ones to break the pattern of, to let go, is to see what your lessons are. And those were some of mine was, you know, it's all around this superficial stuff. And not wanting to be judged. So as you come out and you come into what I'm not, part of it is the consciousness of what's being awakened within you. Because if you can just have consciousness, I was hearing the other day on a podcast that they were saying 90% of the game that he thought was around awareness and being conscious. And I thought that sounds really good because once you, excuse me, I'm even coughing this up, is that once you're aware, you can look at something and go, aha, here it is, just like you're finding those pieces. Mm-hmm. When you don't know what you're working against, you don't know what where you're at kind of in the process. But once you kind of start evaluating, going, huh, I've spent a lot of my life really caring about what other people thought of me. So breaking that and coming out and being authentic in many ways, especially about being a shaman. That one right there, like, I was like, what is this fear, this holdup, this anxiety? I was all mm-hmm. these things about putting myself out there for judgment. I felt the religious stuff. What if my people that I grew up with, certainly my own family, people are going to think about this? What are people going to think? Are they going to think I'm all that? And I felt a need to, like, justify or defend myself, how I got here and why I was here. And it's like, why am I caring so much about what other people think? Well, we know some of it is because many healers were there's a lot of trauma, right, around that you were killed. You know, if you were psychic or whatever, you knew the answers. It was just
for concocting a headache remedy.
Right. we know that we have come from some really unevolved times. So that carries forward. You know, you die in that lifetime and you're like, oh, I'll never again come out and share this because it'll mean death. You know, when you die like that, that's a powerful thought.
Well, on top of it, that's one of the biggest human fears,
right?
Is to be separated from the tribe. Because if you were, what was it called when they take somebody? I can't think of the term right now. When
exiled?
You're exiled. You have no chance.
Yeah.
You have absolutely no chance. You're dependent on this tribe to help you and you help them all to survive. And you are ostracized and sent away. And you're not going to be probably the most viable person from there on in.
No, it meant death, really, yeah. Most of the time.
And look at, like, what we learned from history, too. Look at the Salem witch trials. Literally any woman could come up and accuse anyone of a witch just because they didn't like her or whatever their agenda was, and they would get executed. It's so interesting to me because sometimes I look within and I'm like, what is it going to take for me to really go through my path and find out what areas do I need to work on? And you know what I've discovered is emotion. So when I approach anything and whatever feelings I feel, especially when I feel uncomfortable and I feel certain strong feelings, That's just, your emotions are pointing at the areas where you need to work on yourself.
Absolutely.
And that is a compass that works really great. My thing that I value in life is freedom. So at a core level, if something doesn't speak freedom to me, I don't want to take part of it. And I'm saying freedom for me as well as freedom for others too, because it's not just a one-way street. But we are in this together as far as we're part of a bigger picture, oneness. Unfortunately, with everything going around, we've been divided and separated. And the divide and conquer is being played out like no other, especially during these times. And it can be anything. It can be religious beliefs. It can be political. It can be racial. Nonetheless, we're all humans. We're all God expressed through conscious. We're here to expand consciousness. Mm-hmm. That is it. We're here to learn lessons and expand consciousness.
So I think we've been talking a lot about why you might want to let go. Yes. And it's inevitable on the spiritual journey. It's a constant shedding of the old.
Exactly.
That isn't working, so that you can be more authentic and really feel that connectedness to the divine. But what can people do when they're feeling that kind of dissonance, that kind of, you know, something's wrong here, something's got to go? And I think what you just said, tap into your heart and your emotions. You know, mm-hmm. if this is bothering me, what is it? And you might have to do some, hey, this is a good topic for Pamela, some shadow work. Shadow work is looking at our psyche, the unhidden parts of our brain, and trying to figure out, well, where did this come from? You know, so where is this uncomfortableness coming from? Oh, it might be coming from, you know, something that happened in your childhood. And then once you recognize it's the childhood, how do you forgive that, yourself and others who were involved, so that you can be more authentic and move forward? It's really just quite a process to keep, you know, all we can say is keep going, because you actually, when you address it and you do your best to forgive and heal and shine a light on what was once in the darkness, you actually feel cleaner and more pure.
Mm-hmm. I also feel the power of prayer, the power of intention, like you were saying.
Oh, intention, yeah.
And asking for help. Yes. Asking for that help. Because, you know, so many times, and I know you do this too, because we're like this, is sometimes we'll come upon something, we're finding this new revelation, we can sink in it and don't realize that we've kind of walled ourselves off from asking for help. We'll kind of, without realizing it, like I was saying, you are going through this deep. And sometimes you do need to go in and have that solitude of being alone to sit with it and feel it through. And what is this revealing? And other times, we talked about discernment, having the time to know, okay, this is something that's bigger than me. I need help with this. Mm-hmm. And that
and someone can see something from a different perspective than
exactly.
You. I remember this was a couple years ago when you were telling me that story about a past life that Emeril remembered when you were drowning.
Oh, yes.
And remember you came to me because you were feeling stuck?
Yes.
And I just tuned in immediately to what was going on.
Well, it was a lot more than feeling stuck. It was the emotional aspect behind it that I was just feeling all sorts of struggles. And yes, Lola definitely helped me out with that.
It was, he had a memory of drowning. He was having these, was it dreams or visions? Was it at night or?
Yeah, it was just having those memories of being in the water, being in the dark, and then literally just not being able to do anything except for like just the feeling of drowning and me not wanting to drown and fighting it off. And it was,
and then,
just,
what did I identify? I said, oh, well, you're at that point of surrender when someone's drowning and they finally go, oh, I accept it. And he hadn't quite accepted that surrender to which is literally a dark void, the psyche, the water. It was, and then once I said that, oh, you were just not at that point of surrender yet, it's like you surrendered.
Yeah.
Immediately, once he heard it. And then he could clear that energy that was making him feel so frustrated.
I know many times I see it like a bullseye and I'm like, can you just throw a dart Can you just narrow it in to give me the starting point? If I could see where that thing is, I think I can get there.
But this also brings up a good point, because people can do that using tools.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like tarot readings. You know, you can do your own readings if you know tarot. But also you could use dowsing rods. You can use a pendulum. You can ask your guide, show me a sign.
What is a dowsing rod? I have never heard you say that. What is
the dowsing rods that you hold
Yeah, and hands? They move to answer yes or no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show them to you later, Pamela. Okay. I've got some.
Okay. There's also pendulums.
It's just another tool, you know?
Okay.
If you're in New Orleans, you might throw some bones, right? If you're one of those people who can read tea leaves, you'll read the tea leaves.
Right.
But I think the best thing is ask your guides, like you said, for a sign. And if you're like Amaral, he always goes, hey guys, give me a signier sign. I want a signier sign than what you're giving me now.
Yeah. And then, so also, like, I'm going to bring it back to, like, the beginners, the ones that are really exploring different things. The thing that helped me the most, and it still helps me to this day, a lot of the times, our fear to even speak out about things, our fear of rejection, really, that's what it comes connected to. Get a journal. It will change your life. When you have a journal, what you're going to end up doing is writing all your thoughts. And then you're going to realize that you're not really going crazy. You're just analyzing. A lot of the times we get so much in our heads and we start overthinking. Mm-hmm. And your mind just goes like 90 miles per hour. And all we do is we write down our thoughts. We realize we bring back ourselves to that just peaceful. Like, by letting that out, it just makes you feel more like yourself again. And I mean, you can do with an intention. Like what I do is when I'm really trying to release something, I really go deep into it. I write it down and I really write down how it feels, the pain and stuff. There's also techniques you can follow, like breath work. You can do light language. There's so many different things. But even when you're just beginning, just getting out of your head by being able to write the things that are bothering you, and then grabbing that sheet of paper and just burning it and letting it go and really setting that intention of everything that I wrote down, everything that's bothering me, I ask my spirit team to help me let it go. What I do is I blow out the ashes so that Gaia can take over and kind of recycle that energy. And I just bring it in, bring in the plate, rinse it off with water to just clear it out. That's just what I do. That's an example.
Especially you want to do that on a day like today with a full moon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Using that powerful time when you're going in deep. And as you touched on before, emotions. So I used to think my thoughts were me, not realizing, you know, I am not what I think about. I'm not per se this just, you know, you have these ideas in your head and realizing I am not my thoughts. I am not this and this. And being real with yourself. For me, mine is going out into nature. You guys know that. But sitting with that and going, okay, I'm here to release, and asking for help with releasing things. Mm-hmm. But also knowing now, I used to sit with things a lot longer than I need to. And then I'm like, oh, if I just go ask my YY spirit tribe is so important, is like you're saying, you could be struggling with something for weeks and then go, hey, can you help me with this? And it's addressed in like a minute. And you're like, why did I suffer through this needlessly? And I think that's the other thing, that as being farther on the spiritual journey, you also learn, hey, I don't need to extend this any longer than it needs to. Ask for help. That's what we're here for. And that's hopefully what we can also be for you all, as part of, you know, that other touch point to ask for support and help, you know, if you guys have questions, you know, that's a great way to get help. Lola, yeah, I can see you have a thought.
I'm about to laugh.
Okay.
Because, you know, I used to be a phone counselor to help people quit smoking.
Yes.
And my job was to listen for inconsistencies in what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
I am not my thoughts is a thought.
Right. I saw you about bust up when I said that, and I went, oh, great, here comes a gem.
Yes, so you can shift your thoughts. Actually, yes. Your thoughts are an extremely powerful tool. Yes, going out in nature, yes. But see what you did. Do you see what you did?
I did. Mm-hmm.
You saying, I'm not my thoughts. You had apply a new and different and better thought.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we can do that instantly, but we have to catch ourselves, just like I caught what you were saying. But then again, I'm trained to do that. So.
Right. Well, and that's why, you know, you having that good ear and reading energy and hearing things, you can feel the shift in frequency. And when something comes up, it's like, okay, this lower empowered thought is, you know, I'm no good. I'm you know, I'm not good at things.
And then
blah, blah,
you challenge
blah.
It.
You challenge it and you say, wait a minute, you know, is this true? And then you go through your own process.
You know, I'm going to bring in the quitting smoking again, because one of my favorite ways to challenge people's thinking was something called a but statement. Mm. B-U-T. So you get a thought like, I'm unworthy. Okay. We talked about that being a big one. So you're thinking, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not capable of doing that. The minute you get a thought that isn't working in your favor, this is when you use thoughts as a tool. You immediately put the word but behind it. Oh, I'm not worthy or capable of that, but I can learn. But I can get some advice from people, or but I can go to YouTube and learn a little more about how to do it and maybe give it a try. Mm-hmm. Do you see how you can switch to use your tool, which is your thinking, so fast once you apply your will to do it?
Ooh. I have a new one that I just learned this year, and it was in a coaching class. And, you know, invariably people would call in and start saying their story, and then he would stop and he would say, until now. And so you could say,
that's good.
So I could say, you know, I've been struggling with blah, 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 blah. Up until now.
Uh-huh.
And then you feel the shift of that energy.
Yes.
Up until now, this has been my story.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I was finding, like, how is there a way to say, like, I want to be able to do that, but I don't have the funds right now. And you almost don't want to put the energy, but you're also mm-hmm. being real and saying what's really going on. And I would find, like, oh, shame around that. So I'd mm-hmm. like, wouldn't want to say, oh, I don't have the money for it because I don't want to give more energy to that. So I ended up getting my mind, and I would run around these circles. Like, how do I address what's really going on, but also not give it energy, not reinforce this pattern that I'm not wanting to do? And then out comes up until now. And I went, ooh, and I could feel that. So you can say, up until now, this is what I've been experiencing.
It's perfect for our topic of letting go.
Isn't it?
Absolutely mm-hmm. a wonderful tool.
Yeah.
I just want to add something too. Here's another programming that it's kind of crazy for people to understand is your thinking. Your
yes.
thinking is actually, you tend to overthink, and your head space is connected to your ego. Your heart space is really your truth and where you should pre-processing everything. Whenever you're overthinking, when you're on your head, it's going to create all these ghosts, and your ego doesn't help you. And you know how we're going to talk further about ego, but how you know when your ego is really taking complete power over you? If the thoughts they're processing, they're bothering you, are in your about your future or your past, that is your ego. Your ego cannot exist on your present time. And only in your present time can you make changes about your life. So catch
that.
Yourself. That is
yes.
was great wisdom that I learned through the years. But hey, I got it at some point.
You know, the mind, there's a reason why they get to our minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that of overthinking, you know, overthinking is also comes in when you've had to, like, really look for your safety and all these other tools. Trauma can definitely, you know, get you into where you're overthinking something instead of listening to your heart. Before I met up with you guys today to record the session, I was working with a client and we were just reflecting back on the 5 years that I've been working with her off and on, and really strongly this last year. And we were just saying, like, where her progression was from then, where it was a very traumatic leaving our relationship, to where she's now bringing in this new divine partnership and all of that road that goes in. And I said, do you remember when you didn't trust yourself and your own thoughts? You had to often ask me. And over time, I've just watched you, and I'm like, one day I'm like, she's already got the answers and she doesn't need it. Sometimes when you're coming from a place, you want everybody else to externally validate. You don't trust maybe your own intuition, your own guidance, or whatever that is. Your mind, you go round and round. She's also a Gemini, so you can appreciate. She's like, I see both sides. She's, you know, before you're wanting to jump, you see all the reasons why it could fail. Why do I even start? And so you end up being in inaction. You're not taking steps forward. And I can certainly relate to that. You know, my daughter was sharing that she is working with someone that's helping her to be like the possibilities of the what if that's good, not all the things that can go wrong. And I just love that. So we are rewiring and putting in new neural pathways by changing the way we think, our mind, all these new tools. They're all meant to help you in this letting go of what no longer serves you. And also, I give so much thanks and gratitude for all those things because they have helped me survive. They've helped me make it to where I am right now. So it's like loving your journey and loving all the things that you've learned from that, because look at all this wisdom that's come through.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about this for a whole nother episode too, because I think we've talked about a lot of the ways, you know, to recognize what things that need to be let go of. And maybe we need some more ideas for some solutions in a further episode. But some of the ones that were offered today were to watch your thinking. You know, I like that not up to now.
Up until now, the but statements. Yes.
Breath work. You can do a Google search and learn about all the benefits of breath work. It does help you get in touch with your subconscious and allow you to release a lot of emotions. The cacao ceremony being heart space. The tools, you know, start learning if you want to. Things like
sound using healing, a pendulum, light or, language.
Yeah, frequency music to help you relax. When you're relaxed, it's easier to release. When you feel like you're in a safe place and your nervous system is comfortable.
Journaling, we were
journaling, excellent. And then especially on a full moon, burning it, tearing it up, getting rid of it. But acknowledging it first, what you do feel needs for you personally to let go of. There's a lot of things. There's you can even go online and look at full moon rituals if you really like to go through the process of doing several things, really get your focus and intention, like candle, lighting candles and doing candle magic, all kinds of things. So I guess what the main part of this story is, the power is in you.
Can I just, I'm getting nudged to just say something really quick. How many times have we felt like all these doors have closed and you thought it was the end? And look at what a great opportunity that was to look at things differently, to experience life differently. Anytime things aren't working out, it's not just because, it's for a reason. Honor that. Go through your healing. Know that every closed door is because there's a bigger door opening up for you, but don't lose faith. You got this.
Yay. And on that note, I think we should wrap up the episode and let people know that we are going to be at the Alchemy Fair in Everett on October 26th. I'm going to be sharing a table with Amaral, and Pamela will be there wearing her Welcome to Woo Wooville t-shirt. Just walking around and telling the people about our podcast. So if anybody's planning to be at the Alchemy Fair, come take a look for us at we'll be at table 110 in the back by the big picture windows.
And where's that at again? The Angel of the...
Angel of the Winds...
Casino?
Not a casino.
Arena.
That's
in
right.
In Everett. And then I'm going to be at Mystical Wares on Saturday of this month. I'm sorry, this week. And so if you ever want to meet any of us, we're out and about. And we just want to thank you. It's kind of... I think we had kind of a heavy talk today, but that's because it's a full moon. We'll be a little lighter and brighter at the fair.
Yes.
We can only hope. We didn't get much rest, and there was all sorts of things going on in each one of our lives, but I love that we can always show up and be there for you. So thank you so much for tuning in. We're sending you lots of love your way.
You'll make it through this full moon. You will. Bye.